You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, in Czech life, Jan Fellinger looks at obesity, a growing problem in the Czech Republic. Pavla Horáková will be here with a fresh edition of Mailbox, and then we'll bring you another part in David Vaughan's mini-history series from the archives. So stay tuned as we get the show rolling with Jan Fellinger's Czech life.
The Czech Republic has repeatedly fared among the worst countries in Europe when it comes to obesity, placing in the top five in past Eurostat statistics. According to specialists, many adults in the country need to pay a good deal more attention to what they eat to avoid serious health problems in the future. In this week's Czech Life, I spoke to nutritionist and wellness professional Monika Givišová, who runs a wellness center in Prague. The first thing I asked her was why, when it comes to weight, so many Czechs are poorly off.
There are more factors. One of the factors are, of course, eating habits, which are still very, let's say, compared to the Europe, a few years still backward, because we are now still excited from the supermarket and from the, let's say, abundance of the food in the restaurants and so on. Then another is the minimum of the physical activity, which is still very low. And one of the main reasons, which I think is the main cause, is malnutrition. Or let's say we're eating food which doesn't have enough nutrients, the nutrients that the body needs. So we are eating a lot in the calories, but because of the quality food in the supermarkets, because of the way the food is prepared, we are not getting enough nutrients to the body. And the body is, by storing the fat, protecting us from actually dying from hunger.
We're going to talk about some of the solutions shortly, but I wanted to ask you also, is high alcohol consumption, especially among men, also a factor in weight levels?
Definitely it is, because alcohol, as we all know, it has to be metabolized in the liver. And since also liver is taking care of the, actually, cleansing of the system, cleansing the body, when it's constantly busy with taking care of the alcohol, it actually cannot burn the fat and take care of the other processes. Another thing is that we usually drink alcohol in the evening, in the night, plus the food. And in the night, the body is actually not burning so much fat like during the day. So it's another factor definitely affecting weight gain.
One of the first steps towards solving a problem is general realization that it exists. Mm-hmm. In general terms, do you think that a large part of the population here underestimates the danger of poor eating habits and poor lifestyles, as well as some of the complications, some of the diseases that can ensue?
I mean, it's improved a lot that people being more and more aware that actually there is a connection between the health and weight. But still, people think that since their parents have been eating white rice and pork meat and they are more or less healthy, they can just go on. But the difference between actually the lifestyle of today's people and, let's say, when our parents were in the 30s, is that they had much more physical activity just by the fact that they were walking. And also they didn't have so much of the food with such a poor quality. But people are, yeah, realizing slowly that it's a connection between this.
Czech cuisine is often criticized of being overly heavy. There's lots of dumplings and meat involved. But I imagine over the last 10 or 20 years that it has changed or has improved somewhat.
One thing which is great is there's organic food available, and people, especially in bigger cities, are like turning into organic. The one of the reasons why the organic is good, that it has more nutrients, but also there is much, much less of the chemicals, pesticide and so on. Another thing is that there are more quality supplements on the market, nutritional supplements, and people are being aware that if they have such a busy lifestyle with no rest and traveling and jet lag and eating poor, actually you can add some of the nutrients to the supplement. And also people are being more, let's say, aware that they have to take responsibility for their health by prevention, and the food is including in the prevention.
When somebody comes to your center, are they people who already have a problem and have just realized it or been told by the doctor that they have to do something, or do they come to you through some other means?
People who were sent by the doctor. It's actually from, it's about 5 years ago. This was the main, like, reason why people came. And they were already about 20 kilos overweight and having really heavy health problems. But these days, people are coming who have maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10 kilos of fat extra. But mainly they are feeling tired, they are feeling stressed, and they are being aware that if they will continue like this, and the weight is going to grow and the health problems going to grow in 10 years, this means by they are 45, they will really have a big problem. So they're actually coming a little bit earlier than years ago, so we don't need to actually deal with such a big problem, and this is also why the process is more easier.
Does it require a major shift in thinking on their part? Do they have to change their eating habits from, I don't know, the bottom up? Do they have to change every little detail, or how does that work?
There's different approaches to the way you can work with your food, with your eating habit. And our approach, as a, actually we call ourselves nutrition coach. And there is one thing about find out first what you need, then to say what you need. For example, you are lacking maybe omega-3, or you need more fiber, or you don't eat this or that. And this is usually what the dietitian does, and then give people suggestion and send them home. But what we do, this is actually the point where we are starting. So we are going to also analyze your lifestyle. This means, do you have a family? Do you travel? Can you cook, or you don't want to cook, or do you spend time on the meetings? And we adjust theory, the nutrition theory, what you need, into your reality. So this means, for example, if you're spending a whole day on the meetings as a man, you cannot really open a plastic box and eat a carrot on the meeting. It's just not real. Also, it will be good for you. So what we do, we are trying to adjust the super theory into the reality. And that's why I believe we have such success with people, because we go step by step on their level. We are not pushing it too hard, but the habits that people are getting, they're keeping them for their life.
Would you say that it's generally true that even small changes can make a big difference?
Definitely, definitely. Every little step, it's good for the body, because we are really, the way we are now treating our body is the same way like if you, we're just not listening to the signals. It's the same way like when you drive a car and you see on the dashboard that this light, red light goes on where it tells you the petrol is going to be soon gone, yeah? And still you have about 30 kilometers, but you are aware of it and you look for the petrol station. But what we do, if we, our body, our dashboard is telling us by headache that there is maybe not enough water, or there is too many toxins, too much stress, what we do, we take a medication and just go on. It's the same way, like we would just crash the red light bulb on the dashboard and just drive on. And then we are surprised that we get a heart attack, or we have a this or that problem, the same, like the car would stop because of not having a petrol. Yeah? So I think it's the whole thing is about starting to listen to the body and slowly, step by step, changing the eating habits and the way we take care of ourselves.
Is it expensive, the service, for the basic analysis and how it works, or are there different plans?
Well, is it expensive? That's a good question, because compared to what? Yeah? Compared to if you're dying from being overweight? I guess it's not. But you probably mean it practically. But it works that we do first initial consultation, which we meet with a client for 2 hours, and we really talk in details about your present like health situation, about your eating habits, and about also your practical like setup of your life, if you have kids or if you travel and so on. This consultation costs 1,600. And then we set up a plan, we call it a program, which goes from 3 months to 6 months, depends what you need. And the program includes consultations, includes the meal plan. It includes also, sometimes we go shopping together with people, we do little cooking classes. You get also some cleansing program, like cleansing plan. So, and this program costs from 5,000 per month, depends exactly what you need.
From your perspective, it must be very rewarding when you have somebody who comes in and is 10 or 20 kilos overweight, and then right, you slowly see the weight coming off.
It's a beautiful process. This is actually why it's generally a beautiful work. Also, it's pretty hard work in the beginning, because food for many of us, it's actually emotional social thing. It's not just about nourishing the body. So, and since we are kind of taking it away, it's not very easy. But the moment you start to lose weight, your energy goes up, your emotions go up, you become more stable. And in this moment, we can see how people are changing their lives actually through changing the weight. Because if you have enough energy, you can take care of your family, so the family is more happy. Sometimes people who, the women who, when they can get pregnant because of the weight, they get pregnant. So this is like, they're super happy, of course. We see people changing even jobs or starting businesses because when we feel healthy, then the life generally is much easier. And the great thing about this work, we can witness that. So we have a lot of very nice relationships with our clients.
One thing we haven't discussed yet is fitness activity, cardio, aerobics, to help burn fat. I know that you cooperate with a popular gym here in the capital. Mm-hmm. How much is fitness an important aspect of living a healthy lifestyle?
Yes, definitely. It is one of the important part. The food is one thing and physical activity is another thing. And I'm not pushing everybody to go to gym because for many people this is working as a physical activity, but for many who maybe have a family or a bigger family, let's say, or they don't live in the center of the city, or they just don't have time to go regularly to gym, we also recommend other type of activities like walking or jogging or going for like having a home trainer at home. So our approach is to find not an ideal physical activity, but the one which is good for you, but also fitting with your lifestyle.
This week there was a report that they want to ban sugary drinks from venues in New York City, mm-hmm. so-called big gulps. They want mm-hmm. to ban them at restaurants, movie theaters, and, for example, in street carts. Mm-hmm. That has been called a very ambitious effort by the Bloomberg administration in fighting mm-hmm. obesity. In terms of awareness, do you think that it's a good idea, and could something similar work here?
I love the idea. I love it. Also, it maybe look like that we are not free anymore, that if they're banning this and banning that. But on the other hand, with the food choices, we are free. We are not free anyway. We are buying whatever they give us in supermarkets and whatever they packed in the packages in the restaurant and so on. So in a way, for people, if they have no education or just no awareness, this is just a chance to give you no chance to buy such a big portion. Yeah, so I find it pretty cool.
I've read that you've been involved in wellness and health since basically the beginning of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, how many people do you think that you've helped now?
Of course, we started in a small scale. Actually, we have a family business. I work with my mother. So we started as two people, and now we have a team of 8 nutritionists, and we are still growing. So this year's, let's say we have about 30 clients, like new clients, coming every month. So I think you can do the math.
I imagine the situation has improved. As you said before, people who come today already know what they want, are aware of the problem.
Yeah, it's actually much more interesting for us because we don't need to tell them anymore that the white bread is not really good for you and the fried food is not really good for you, but we rather deal with people who are really interested. Why do I need to eat the vegetable? And is it better to eat it raw or is it better to eat it cooked? Or we can work with the interesting food, like this, for example, the superfood, which is the food which really includes a lot of nutrients like sprouts or chlorella or spirulina or generally green foods. And so it's much more interesting also for us because it's more not such basics anymore.
That was Jan Wellinger with Czech Life, and you can tune in again for this particular feature in a fortnight's time, then hosted by Sarah Borufka. Now it's time for a look at what the Post brought this month. Here is Pavla with Radio Prague's Mailbox.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. Thank you very much for all your feedback, including reception reports and, of course, your quiz answers. Before we get to those, here are some of your recent emails. Mohammed El Said Abdel Rahim from Egypt responded to Radio Prague's coverage of this year's Prague Writers' Festival.
Thank you for the interview and dialogue with the Egyptian novelist Hamdi El-Ghazar, who participated in the Prague's Writers' Festival.
Colin Law from New Zealand alerted us to an amusing typo he spotted in our email news bulletin.
Thanks for the laugh when I read the Radio Prague news this morning. So what is the age when a driver should give up driving and shooting?
According to the news story, police in Prague arrested a 256-year-old driver who had tried to ram their car off the road. Of course, he was 10 times younger, and we apologise for the typo. Roger Tidy from London responds to this week's one-on-one.
I enjoyed listening to your interview with Jindřich Šídlo. I thought, however, that he was a little too complimentary about British journalism, which he thought was superior to the Czech product. His basis for saying this was his 1 month's experience at The Times in London. The Times is indeed a good paper, but as recent events concerning phone hacking by certain other British papers have shown, there is much that is rotten in British journalism, and in this respect it is hardly a good model.
Thank you for your comments, and now on to our monthly quiz. Mary-Lou Krennick from Texas sent us this answer.
Our mystery person for May is Jan Kaplicki. He was a world-renowned Czech architect who lived and worked a significant part of his life in England. He was one of the most radical architects on the planet in the last 40 years.
Jayanta Chakrabarty writes from India.
Another of the Czech Republic's contributions to the world, this time in the form of a renowned architect, Jan Kaplicki. His innovative design office, Future Systems, amazed the world for its unique fusion of organic design with high-tech futurism. His name will forever be enshrined in such remarkable projects like Birmingham's futuristic Selfridges building and the Media Center at Lourdes, which brought him laurels in the form of the Sterling Prize and the RIBA Award. He also won the International Architecture Competition for Prague's new National Library building, but his dream of putting his footprint in his country of birth never materialized during his lifetime.
Charles Konecny from Ohio wrote,
"It may be that Kaplicki was way ahead of his time, but he was an innovative and brilliant architect whose buildings were designed with continual angles, slopes, and curves. I doubt that he owned a T-square or straight edge, but he must have been darn good in geometry. Of course, his designs were controversial, with some calling his Selfridges store in the Bullring a giant iceberg, and some in Prague were ready to step in front of the bulldozers to keep the library blob from being built. I understand there is a miniature version of the blob built as a bus stop in Brno. So now Kaplicki is gone. I wonder what his tombstone looks like. His Future Systems company is gone, and probably his library building is gone. Or is it?"
This is what Zara Modu from Nigeria sent us.
Jan Kaplicki was a world-renowned Czech architect who spent a significant part of his life in the United Kingdom. He was the leading architect behind the innovative design office. He was best known for his futuristic Selfridges building in Birmingham. In February of 2007, he won the international architectural competition for the new building of the National Library of the Czech Republic in Prague, a project that was subsequently cancelled.
Ian Morrison from China adds,
"His designs were certainly very innovative. A layman such as myself with little knowledge of architecture could even describe them as space age or science fiction. Impressive works from a great man."
Paul Peacock from Australia sent us this.
Born in Prague in 1937, his formative years were spent there until 1968 when he moved to London with only $100 in his pocket. He worked in various establishments there over the years and set up his own architectural think tank called Future Systems, developing an architectural style combining organic forms and high-tech futurism. He married in 1991 to Amanda Levette, who had joined Future Systems as a partner, but their marriage ended in divorce in 2006, 3 years before he died. He was in Prague when he collapsed in a street of heart failure.
Thank you very much for all your answers. This time, our little prize goes to Zara Modu from Nigeria. Our congratulations, and here is a new question for the month of June. This month, we would like to know the name of the Austrian mathematician and physicist born in 1803, who spent a significant part of his career lecturing at the Prague Polytechnic. Please send us your answers, as usual, to english@radio.cz by the end of the month, along with your questions, comments and reception reports. We are looking forward to all your feedback. Until next time, stay tuned and take care.
My thanks to Pavla Horáková, and just a quick reminder that apart from her own monthly quiz, there is a monthly Radio Prague quiz as well, which is the same for all language sections and in which you can win a prize from Radio Prague. So do check out our website at radio.cz for the details. Now, in the time left, here's another part in David Vaughan's popular miniseries from the archives, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
The last years of the Brezhnev era were a period of deep mistrust between the Soviet Union and the United States. As disarmament talks stumbled and both countries expanded their nuclear arsenals, the popularity of the peace movement in the West grew. The governments of communist countries saw this as an opportunity to try to influence Western public opinion, and Radio Prague's English language broadcasts were part of this process.
Radio Prague asks, why the anti-war movement?
Those were the opening words of a Radio Prague documentary in 1983. In June of that year, Prague had hosted the biggest international anti-nuclear weapons conference to date, with the rather cumbersome title, The World Assembly for Peace and Life Against Nuclear War. Many Western peace organisations, including Britain's influential Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, avoided the event, seeing it as an Eastern Bloc political platform. But over 3,500 delegates did take part. Radio Prague broadcast a special report on the event, making it clear who it thought was to blame for the arms race.
Washington is bent on spending trillions on MX, Midgetman, Trident II and other missiles, on laser beam weapons, nerve gas and other means of mass annihilation.
All of this has aroused concern among peace-loving people everywhere, and has generated an unprecedented and ever-rising tide of the peace and anti-war movement, even in Mr. Reagan's own land.
The report then continued with interviews with some of the delegates.
Dr. Alan Bresch, National Council of Churches, New Zealand.
The important thing to me is that these people from all their separate countries are speaking and being together, getting to know one another, and showing the world that all over the world, there are people of significance, representing movements of significance, who really want to see an end to this nuclear threat.
Amarjeet Singh Sahni, a lawyer from Karnal, Haryana State, India.
It's not the government which is going to die if there's a war. It's everybody, it's the concern of the common man. So common man has to be a part of the organization, a part of the movement, peace movement, and it should be made universal.
Karen Talbot, an American member of the International Secretariat of the Assembly.
There has been a tremendous explosion of actions for peace in the United States, especially the freeze movement, the movement calling for a freeze of nuclear weapons bilaterally. And there's been action on every level in the United States, the smallest communities in to the largest cities.
The program concluded by looking at the peace movement as represented in different groups in society, starting with politicians and educators, and then moving on to
artists.
Today, we need to think of art, intelligent, seeable, readable, likeable, entertaining, and purposeful art, as a militant expression in the struggle for peace.
Women.
We have so much in common that we are truly sisters. Our love for all children, our instinctive capacity to nurture and protect, our inexhaustible determination to guarantee the survival of life.
And to the sound of Beethoven's Ode to Joy, Radio Prague's report on the 1983 World Assembly for Peace and Life against nuclear war ended.
That was another part in David Vaughan's popular mini-series from the archives, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.